Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I'm FPL Dion and today you're here for Blank Game Week 29. Yes, the first blank game week of the season, team selection, final thoughts, final plugs, deadline day decisions, everything you need ahead of the upcoming deadline. Yes, I have not moved for a player yet. I've still got my two free transfers and I'm still working out whether I want to take a minus four. I've watched the players I really want, Matt Sells, Morgan Gibbs-White, rise in price. I've watched Isak potentially going to drop by the time you watch this video, if you're watching it tomorrow on Saturday morning. And there's so many things to talk about. I don't want to be making any drastic decisions. That's the key thing you need ahead of making your own decisions for this deadline. Make sure you are aware that lots of other people's teams aren't going to be that flash. So there's no need to panic about whether yours looks absolutely horrible, but I would be trying to field 11 players. Before we go any further, can you please help me out by liking the video, subscribing if you haven't already, and sharing this with your friends? The aim is to get to 1,000 subs as quickly as possible before the end of the season with some luck, and I can't do it without your support. With that being said, let's jump into it. System managers with table bonus. Oh my God, I'm slurring my words. That's how tired I am. Look, honestly, if you haven't got the assistant manager chip active, you're not playing it this week. There is no good games to be really targeting. And I don't think any of the table bonus managers are really worth it. Now, I was listening to talk on the Devils podcast after Manchester United's victory 4-1 in the Europa League overnight. And they said that Ruud van Nistelrooy was banned. I'm not sure if that's true. If you do know that that's correct, let me know. But if he's banned, I can't see anything other than the fact that Man United are going to go there and get a win. And Bruno Fernandes is probably going to get a big return. Like, he's just in such good form at the moment. I just think that he's brilliant. And that's something that I'll be weighing up myself in terms of captaincy. But in terms of assistant managers, Ruud van Nistelrooy, I did like the most at the beginning of the week. Now I think Ipswich probably have a better chance of beating Nottingham Forest. And that's purely based off the fact that they were pretty good in the FA Cup against them. And maybe they can repeat the trick here. I'm not 100% sure, but that's the way I'd be reading it. And realistically, I wouldn't be going for anyone on the assistant manager this week. I don't really like any of the fixtures. And that's all I really want to say on it. I still think you should be chasing table bonus, but I feel like these two are just going to get you 1 or 0 points combined. So my final plugs for Game Week 29. The aim of this week is purely to field 11 players, even if it means taking a hit or two. It's perfectly fine. If taking a minus eight, fine. Minus four, fine. Preferably, you've got some sort of transfers like me. You've got two saved up. You can actually make some moves in your team. But a lot of people won't. So don't be stressing that you don't want to like make a couple of moves. Obviously, you should only be making luxurious moves if you've got multiple transfers. Because realistically, you want to be targeting players that have fixtures this week, don't have fixtures this week. You don't want to be wasting transfers on blokes that actually have fixtures in your team. That is not the way to go. And that's not what I would be recommending at all. Ideally, you're not playing any chips at all this week. You're not playing your free hit because obviously you're going to have to come back to your team in game week 30. And probably you shouldn't be playing a wild card. There's not enough information until those FA Cup quarterfinals have been played to make any accurate decisions on terms of what team you want to do. And the last thing to take here is a lot of teams will look weak this week. Like even mine looks weak this week. I've got Isak, Trent and Salah and Alisson all on the bench. That's a lot of money on my bench this week. My team is definitely not going to be that fabulous if I don't make any moves outside of the goalkeeper. And I still don't even know if I really want to make a goalkeeper move either. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. And just try to avoid unnecessary moves. You want to be able to attack the weeks that are coming up. You just want to try and get through this week as best you can. I'm not targeting this week as a week. I just hope that I'm still inside the top 10K after this week. If that is the case, I'm a very happy man. And hopefully, the fact that my players pretty much our template players means that I probably shouldn't lose too much rank this week if I don't do anything stupid and take like minus fours, minus eights. In terms of the best defenders to buy this week, it is Milinkovic number one. He is my favorite defender. I think that he will top score in terms of the defenders this week. Lots of people ask me about Aina. I just don't think that Aina's worth the extra money. And I actually think that he doesn't even make the top seven this week. Aitnori comes in at number two. Surely he's not going to keep trolling us. He's got to be getting a return in the next 3 weeks, you would hope, and hopefully some attacking returns as well. He is averaging one in every four games this season. Hopefully this is the week where he delivers. Gwalviol comes in at number three. I'm still not convinced about Man City entirely with the way they've been playing, and I watched that Nottingham Forest game, but they are looking a little bit better defensively, and Gwalviol's such a threat from set pieces that you would expect him to be a really good buy here. Wan-Bissaka comes in at number four. Kirk is number five. Williams number six. And Munoz is in here. Even though he's got no fixture, some people might be selling Trent and you might not have Munoz. Selling Trent to Munoz frees up at least 2.3 million for the majority of players. That's what it would free up for me. And then that means that you might be able to make a different move elsewhere in your squad. And if you've got multiple transfers, it's perfectly fine, especially if you've got four playing defenders like I've got this week. It just makes a lot of sense. In terms of best midfielders to buy, fresh off a hat-trick in the Europa League, 20 points in his last 3 weeks, Bruno Fernandes, number one buy. I actually think he's fine against Forest. I think he's fine against Man City as well. The next 3 weeks, even though two of them appear red fixtures on the fixture ticker, I think aren't that bad for Man United and Bruno Fernandes. This dude is a freak. He's carrying the team by himself. Jared Bowen comes in at number two. Gibbs White and Savinho, three and four. They are the two players I'm most interested in terms of a Cole Palmer replacement this week, but I'm not convinced by either of them. In reality, I would love to just bring back Phil Foden, but if I'm making the moves I want to make, there's no point bringing in Phil Foden if I can't bring in Haaland, and there's a world where I could do it, and I'll show you how I could do it later, but it's very tight with money, and it doesn't feel good moving forward either. Number six, it's Kluivert, if you don't already own him. Seven, it's Alanga. Eight, it's Hudson-Odoi because of that nice fixture against Ipswich. And Montesi, I don't know how you say his name. He comes in at number nine. He's got that Wolves fixture, and that also looks... he's got the Southampton fixture for Wolves. That also looks really nice, but he is currently yellow flagged in the game. Best forwards to buy, it's Chris the Woody Woodpecker. He has to be number one. I can't believe he's the number one forward in the game. What is going on with FPL? This dude is having the GOAT season from New Zealand, and he is just consistently getting and delivering the wood. You got to love it. He must be cutting down a lot of forests this year. Two, Erling Haaland. He should be delivering points for the foreseeable run. Man City's fixture run does change as well for the better, and that's why I think their assets, particularly Foden and Haaland, really just stick out to me. Just got a feeling about both of them. Valentin comes in at number three. He didn't make the top six yesterday, but I've elevated him based on some number crunching today. Valentin's a really good buy, and he's so cheap as well. He's better than Beto because obviously Valentin's got an amazing next 3, 4, 5 weeks, whereas Beto only has one. Wissa, fairly ditto. Newcastle away, maybe not the worst fixture, but these away fixtures are going to add up. And then Jorgen Strand Larsen, that's who JSL is. He brings up the rear. He's number six this week because of that nice run of fixtures that Wolves have right in front of them. So recapping how I went in game week 28, I got a small green arrow up from 4,687 to 4,237. That's a rise of 450 places, which is pretty good. And I'm pretty happy with my rank. Like, honestly, it's not much to complain about. It was actually a pretty damn average game week. But I will say to all those people that asked me, why am I benching Isak? I knew that he wasn't going to return in this game. I just knew it. And for me, it was between him and Fernandes, who was benched. And I definitely got that call correct. 100%. It's safe to say my differential, Bruno, has come in massively for me the last 2 weeks. He's not so much of a differential now. So many people buying him. So many more people are going to buy him. He may even rise to 8.5 by the time the deadline rises. So that would be brilliant for me. And he's fresh off the hat-trick as well. So Becker, 3 points. Alexander-Arnold, 2 points. That was disappointing. Liverpool defence blanking was not on the radar against Southampton. And Southampton have this kind of result in them, which is why I'm so cautious about just bringing in Sarr to double of 8 Nori against that defense. But realistically, it's either 0 points in the goalkeeper or I get 2 at worst case scenario. And if I take a -4, potentially, hopefully it's a 2 and they get 6 points. I don't know. If I do the -4, I'm really hoping that he keeps a clean sheet. Kirkez, he got 4. This could have been 11 points if it wasn't for Kepa and goal. He was brilliant. Another amazing cross for the assist. Just disappointing that Kepa literally threw the game away for Bournemouth. And this could have been a massive mega haul, and I could have been on a massive green arrow for like where my rank is. In the midfield, Cole Palmer as vice-captain, 1 point. That was disappointing. he has been disappointing of late, and the last 7 weeks, 18 points is not good enough, and he is firmly on the chopping block as we currently speak. Mo Salah saved the game week for most people, 30 points there, double as the captain. That was brilliant. And Mbeumo, obviously 2 points, along with Wissa, that was very disappointing. The double Brentford attack, not delivering again for me, not handy. I've obviously got him in my team, and they're playing Kirkes this week, so that's unfortunate. So I'm hoping for goals, but I'm hoping Kirkes can get some sort of attacking return as well. Clivert, he got 5 points. Could have had a lot more in this game. It was unfortunate. Chris, the Woody Woodpecker, was usually not very good at finishing in this game, which is disappointing. Robinson obviously got 0 points on the bench because he conceded goals, and it just wasn't a good game for Fulham in general. Isak obviously got the 2 points, did nothing pretty much against West Ham. And Milinkovic, didn't read that one. Last on my bench again was 6 points. Highly annoying. Fabianski again didn't play. And Bruno Fernandes, the saviour. Carrying Manchester United, and he's carrying the FPL D units team at the moment. What a man. And he's got me firmly inside the top 5,000 as things stand. So, onto my potential transfers for this week. Now, it is Alisson Becker, Fabianski, Sells, Jose Sarr. They are the players I want. But now Areola's come into the mix. I didn't want to rack the graphic by racking his name in there. But he's now in the firing line. Like, potentially, he might be the one that comes in. And then for Becker, and I just roll with both West Ham keepers, because then I know 100% one of them's going to play. it's just my line of thinking. And I don't really need the West Ham slots, because I'm not looking at getting Jared Bowen in, and then it's just one Bissaka at the moment until I wildcard. Maybe this is the correct play. And then that way I just know for a fact I've got the certainty. Also, he costs 0.1 less than Sarr as well. But yeah, I still almost might go with Sells as well. I'm just not 100% sure. It just depends on whether I make one transfer or three, and we'll look at how that looks at the end of this video. So the other moves that would require me taking -4 or potentially other moves, etc., Cole Palmer out. But I really like the way he looked in the Europa Conference League overnight. That 45 minutes looked a lot more like the old Cole Palmer, except he didn't finish and he didn't get an assist, but he was doing stuff that reminded me of the form that this man can turn it on. Arsenal's just not a good fixture. And maybe he's going to drop again. Maybe I can jump off early so I don't cop another like price drop. I'm just not sure. Savinho and Gibbs White, I'm not sold on either of them. Phil Foden would be my ideal transfer, but that wouldn't be possible without being really tight and not being able to make moves. That would be locking in my wild card. And it would also be locking in a -8. And I don't think that makes sense. Locking in a -8 and then wild carding the week after just doesn't feel right to me. And it's just throwing rank away, essentially, from my line of thinking. More Gibbs-White and Savinho, I can't really split them at the moment. The more I think about it, the fact that Gibbs-White has risen and Savinho's only 6.2 makes me think I'm more inclined to go that way. And that is obviously to get in Haaland for Isak. Now, originally I did tie up getting Wissa, but I think that potentially going with a 3-4-3 and benching one of my defenders might actually be the correct play. And it'd probably be Robinson that gets benched, but I'm not sure if I'm going to do it. I don't know if Haaland's worth it. I don't know if he can deliver the points to justify 14.7, whereas Cole Palmer anytime could turn it around and get back in form. And then it really does feel like a waste. I'm just not sure. Let me know in the comments if you are doing this move or not. I am really intrigued to know. So that brings us on to the Game Week 29 captaincy decision. And I think it's between four players. Now, I don't own Haaland at the moment. By the time the deadline rolls around, I potentially might. I'm still not convinced that I want to play it on him. I don't think that Brighton at home is that amazing of a fixture. Brighton, since the 7-0 thumping from Nottingham Forest they received, have actually been super good. I don't think they've lost a game since. And their defence has definitely tightened up. And maybe that's the kind of result they needed. And Man City just aren't in that good of a form. Like, yes, they've had the week off from Europe because they've been knocked out. Maybe they're going to hit this ground and absolutely destroy. I just can't see it myself. But I'm also scared that last year I went a little bit late on Haaland when he came back from injury, and that cost me finishing inside the top 100,000. Hopefully that's not going to happen this year, but I am conscious of the fact I don't want to be jumping on late, especially if he starts going ham again. Chris Wood's a great option, and I think he's great. Ipswich away screams goals. Like, it is Chris the Woody Woodpecker. The wood is inevitable. Justin Clive is also really good, considering Tottenham's exertions last night and the fact that they kind of struggled against the Dutch team again, I thought, I can see a world where Kluivert is a really good pick. He's going to be fresh, week off. There's a lot to love there. But you've got to, for me, at the moment, I'm going with a man in form. I'm going with my captain of my football team, and he's going to be, at this point, captaining the FPL D unit as well, and his spuds this weekend. And it's Bruno Fernandes. This man's got 2 assists, 2 goals in the last 3 weeks. That's 29 points, and he's just fresh off the back of a hat-trick in the Europa League. This dude is on fire, and it's hard to overlook as a captain, I think, this particular game week. So, on to my team selection for game week 29, the blank game week, and let's start in the defense. So, I'm playing a 4-man defense as things stand, and Fabianski in goal. And as you can see there, I have a blank in goal. At the moment, I will only be having 10 players play because the goalkeeper isn't playing. Like Fabianski, unless Areola gets an injury, and you know, if he did in training, that'd be absolutely fantastic, or he caught a cold or whatever, brilliant, but I don't wish any bad luck on any player. But realistically, Fabianski's going to be on the bench, so I'm going to need to make a goalkeeper transfer if I want to play over 11 players this week. Kerkez, Aitnori, Milinkovic, Robinson, that's a nice lot of fixtures for 4 defenders, which is why I don't mind playing 4 defenders this week. Like, I think that Brentford potentially will score against Bournemouth, but I feel like Kerkez could definitely cause them some problems from an attacking perspective. Aitnori's obviously got that Southampton fixture, and you would hope that he can start delivering there. Milinkovic, as I said, I think he is the best defender by this week. He's got aerial threat from corners, and he also has the most shutouts of defenders this year in that Nottingham Forest defence. He is brilliant. And then Robinson obviously has the most assists from all defenders this season. In fact, in the league, he's got 10 assists for the season. There's every chance he could get one against a Tottenham team that's probably going to be tired and a little bit cautious about players getting re-injured on their return to the team. And obviously, Alexander-Arnold at the moment is on the bench with Becker. None of them have fixtures this particular week. In the midfield, it's Cole Palmer. Still hanging on for dear life, on life support at the moment, prior to me making any moves. Arsenal away is not a good fixture. Will Chelsea score? Will something crack in this game and both teams will score and it'll be a goal fest? Like, the odds of that would be so low, but potentially it could happen. And Mbeumo obviously is away as well. Kluivert is at home against Mbeumo, which I really like the look of. I think potentially they could both return here. And then Bruno Fernandes there is the captain. That Leicester away fixture screams points. The man is a goat. He's having a goat season for Man United as usual. He is literally the soul of that team, the heart and soul. He is all the class that they currently need in order to get results. And if Bruno Fernandes, I think, has been involved in 11 of the last 13 goals for Man United across all competitions. So if Man United score, this man is involved, which is why I think he is the ultimate captain choice this week. And so many people won't be going there because they'll be going for Chris Wood as captain. And then I've obviously got Wisser as well up front, Isak on the bench. So I've got so much money on the bench. Isak currently 9.4 million, Mo Salah 13.8. They're both likely to drop in price tonight. But I'm not going to be selling, I'm not going to be selling Salah, that's 100%. Trent, obviously 7.5 million on the bench as well. So, like, my bench has so much money in it, which is disappointing. Like, it's a lot of money going to waste, but it is just what it is. You can't be making rash decisions selling players that you've got so much team value in. I mean, I bought Isak at 8.4. I can't be selling him because I'm going to have to, like, literally bring him back for that run of fixtures after the blank. And he's going to cost me so much more to bring him back. And I don't have a boatload of money in the bank. It's just 1.1 million. So yeah, it is one of those things. But the team, that's how it stands going into game week 29. Let me know how your team's looking in the comments. So that brings us on to the deadline day decisions of blank game week 29 and the navigation of it. Liverpool, Aston Villa, Crystal Palace and Newcastle United, all blank. And players from these teams should be moved even for hits to try and field 11 players. So if you've got Kanate, you've got Trent, you've got Alisson, like for me, they're all sells. If it means you can play 11 players and you haven't got too much team value tied up in them, they're all sells. The only players that you probably have lots of team value tied up in are probably Isak and Mo Salah. Outside of that, any players from these teams, you probably don't have any team value or little team value tied up in them. Perfectly fine to sell to make sure you field 11 players. That's all I'll say. And then because most people are going to be wildcarding in 30, 31, you can easily bring them all back. So it's not that difficult. It's just 1 or 2 weeks without them, and I think that's perfectly fine. The assets to target, the teams, well, the teams you need to be targeting this week, Man United with that fixture, Wolves, Man City, Nottingham Forest, Bournemouth, Everton, and West Ham. They all have decent fixtures, and for a lot of these teams, they have decent fixtures over 29 and game week 30, when many engaged FPL managers will be then wildcarding. So just load up on the punts. Like, literally load up on the punts. If you're after a one-week play, back yourself in. If you think Beto's going to score a brace this week, just go for it. Back it in. Don't be doing stupid hits for it, but don't be afraid to go different this week. This is a week where you can get away with it because captaincy is going to be so different this week as well. And it's good. It's good for FPL. It's become a little bit stale of late. This is really good. Blanking players. If you have suspended players or players of little team value tied up in who aren't playing, move them out. Get rid of them. See you later. Especially suspended players that are going to be missing more than this week. They're still 100%. They are the priority sells. And this is the week for differentials. I've just said it could pay off. Don't second guess yourself. Just do it. That's why Savinho is in my mind. No one's going to be buying him for Cole Palmer. Maybe I do it and he gets a hat-trick of assists for Haaland up front. All of a sudden, it's happy days. And then, obviously, the captaincy decision. Who is the best out of Wood, Haaland, Fernandez, and Clivert? So we're going to finish this video up by looking at my team and what potentially moves I could do. So I'm going to make this slightly bigger just to show you what I am planning on doing. As you can see there, I've got 1.1 million in the bank and 2 free transfers. Now, the moves that I could do, and I've been toying up with this. Obviously, Isaac here is likely to drop to 8.8 overnight in terms of my selling price because currently he's still 9.4. He is scheduled to drop to 9.3, which will drop that to 8.8. So if I make these moves, this combination of three moves, it will happen by the time I do the deadline stream. So in this world, it would be Haaland in. It would be... I think I'm likely to go with Savinho. I'm just going with a punt. If it pays off, it pays off. I'm 0.1 short, as you can see there. So in this case, it would be a goalkeeper transfer to field a goalkeeper, and we'll be bringing Jose Sarr in. Now, the problem with this lineup, I then go to a 3-4-3, and I don't know who I bench. I think it's between Robinson and Kirkez, who starts and who gets benched. And I'm not sure which one I would go with. I think I would go with Robinson on field and Kirkez on my bench based purely on the fact I've got double Brentford and I'd be hoping that they score. And that's the line of thinking behind it in terms of that. Now, that's one set of moves. Now, there is another world where I could actually bring in, I think I've got this right, just bear with me a second. I did do the maths on this earlier. So Phil Foden could come in, and I need 1.9, right? And I could take a minus 8, and I could bring in Munoz this week, because obviously I don't need him to play, but it would cost me 8 points. I'd have 0.4 left in the bank. It would set me up well for next week in terms of I can then move Mbeumo or Bruno Fernandes in the heart of game week to Ismaili Assar as my 1 free transfer. I just don't know if it's worth a minus 8 because in reality I would like 3 Crystal Palace players against that Southampton thing, which is why potentially I want a wild card and 30, right? I just don't think that makes a lot of sense. Like this move here, yes, it looks brilliant, but it would have to be for a couple of weeks. There's no point taking a minus 8 and then wild carding the week after. So for me, that makes no sense. It's a dumb decision. Don't do it. So like for me, that's fine. Don't do it. Whatever. The other move is I could just do this. So I could back in and I could just bring in Jose Sarr. I could either bring in Jose Sarr for Alisson or I could bring in Jose Sarr for Fabianski. It depends on what I want to do the next week. So in the next week, if I really wanted to, and I still like the look of, we'll just restore Isaac there. So obviously next week, that would leave me with 2.3 million in the bank, right? And then next week, I could easily do Munoz. And I'll easily 4.6 in the bank. And provided that could be Mateta in. So Mateta we're expecting to be back as well from injury. And I just forego City players and I don't take any hits and I roll till 31. and I go with two Palace assets. Like that is an option as well, where I could just do that. And I don't even have to get rid of Becker here. If I like Becker still in goal against Everton, I could easily get rid of Fabianski and it could be Sarr instead. Like there's so many possibilities and I don't know which way I'm likely to go. And lots of people probably in the exact same boat. Like, is it worth taking a hit this week? I'm not 100% sure. As I said, ideally, I would like Haaland this week for Isak. It looks good. But when you look at the stats, and this is what I'm going to show you. When you look at Haaland, he's been a bit hit and miss, right? So even since the start of the season, we go all the way back here, 7, 17, 17, 13, 9, 2, 2, 6, 2, 5, 2, 2, 5, 7, 2, 2, 0, 8, 13, 2, 6, 12. Since that 12 against Chelsea, it's 6 against Arsenal, 5 against Newcastle, Liverpool nothing, I didn't play, Tottenham 8, probably should have been a second one, that was unfortunate, it would have been a double hold, 13, and then Nottingham Forest 2. However, I go back to those games against like Leicester and West Ham. Yes, he did very good against West Ham. The fixture run is opening up. But Brighton, again, earlier in the season, he only got one goal, and that was it. So I'm not sure. I'm not sold on it, but it's definitely something I'm looking at. Again, there's no other way. I think I actually can do Jose Sarr for Fabianski here. No, I can't because I don't want to be taking that. 4.6, I just don't have the money for that. So it's not a move. So it would have to be for Alisson Becker. I just don't know if it's worth a minus four. And that's my thing. Like it's either come down to there. I could even get Gibbs White. It just depends on who I like the look of the most. I like Savinho because his underlying stats are like Phil Foden's. And he's played the last five games. Like 90 minutes, 90 minutes, 90 minutes, 89, 68. And when he's up and right, like he's only actually started off the bench. He's only actually come off the bench four times this season. No, five. And I don't know about that first game. I can't remember the first. It's just 40 and five. He either started or he came off. So most of the time, if he starts, he plays from the start. And if he starts from the start, then I'm quite happy with him. If he doesn't, he generally quite often just misses out. Like there's a lot of zeros here where he just hasn't played at all. So you just got to hope that Pep doesn't bring him on and goes for other options instead. It's just Pep roulette. I don't like taking Pep roulette on, but for 2 weeks, potentially I could do it. And if I do this, I could just can that. That's going to stay as Wissar. I could just roll, right? And then next week I could take a minus four to bring in Munoz for whatever. I just wildcard, either or. It's just, I feel like a lot of people are going to be taking minus fours this week. It's just a matter of whether I want to line up in a 4-4-2. It comes down to whether I think that Cole Palmer is going to outscore Haaland or if Haaland's going to outscore Cole Palmer. And if it's going to be by more than 4 points. Like, that's what it comes down to, really. And I'm not convinced there's a hell of a lot in it. Even though Cole Palmer's bang out of form and he's playing Arsenal and Man City are home against Brighton. Yeah, I'm just not sure. But yeah, that's my line of thinking. Let me know what you're thinking in the comments. And maybe you can help me out. Maybe there's an option I haven't actually thought of that maybe I need to work out as well. So, lots to think about, lots to ponder ahead of the deadline for Blank Game Week 29. I will be back for a deadline day stream tomorrow from 11:30 a.m., maybe even just a little bit before UK time. Make sure you join me for that. Bring all your questions, everything you need. I'll be there to hopefully answer it for you. I hope to see you there. Remember, it is a slightly later one, so you can have a little bit of a sleep in the morning, wake up, get a nice cup of coffee or a tea or whatever it is that you do and settle in and hopefully join me for the deadline day stream tomorrow. And if you've made it all the way through to the end of this, yes, I've rambled for a bit, but hopefully it's given you a little bit of room for thoughts and stuff like that. And maybe we'll learn a bit more from the press conferences later on today. But please make sure you like the video before you leave and subscribe if you haven't already. It'd be much appreciated. And I'll see you tomorrow for the deadline stream. That's been FPL The Unit with my team selection for Blank Game Week 29.